Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is DJ Normally with the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. You can find us on the Chairshot Radio Network on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Normally, I'm a wrestling podcast host and co-host, but this week I'm taking a little detour, taking a little side trip, breaking away from my co-hosts, doing a little solo thing, because I want to talk about Welcome to Rockville 2024. I went to that this past weekend. It was a four-day rock, hard rock, and heavy metal festival in Daytona Beach, Florida at the International Speedway. 4 days of just absolute chaos and fun and music and well over 100 bands. We're going to talk about this whole thing a little bit more. I am not alone today, though. In her first ever podcast, her maiden voyage here, my lovely and wonderful girlfriend, Tina, is with me. Tina, first off, welcome to podcasting. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah.
She's excited. She's absolutely overwhelmed and beaming with excitement right now.
It's nice to actually be able to say what I'm thinking instead of texting it to you while you're in the middle of podcasting. I hear it down the hall.
Well, we can talk here. We can have a little dialogue because we are going to get into this. This was our third time going to Welcome to Rockville.
Yeah.
It was our fourth festival overall. We went to Rockville 2022, 23, and this year 24. Prior to that, we went to Fort Rock down in Fort Lauderdale, and I believe it was 2017. That was your first festival, my first in a long time. The very first festival I ever went to was Ozfest in, now mind you, I'm old, so it's been a while. It was either 97 or 98. It was before I got into ophthalmology, and that was in 99. So it had to be like the year before, so before that. And to be honest with you, the first festival I went to, I didn't enjoy.
As for a first festival, I think Fort Rock for me was like really, really awesome. The only time I'd ever really listened to any live music that was an outside venue was like at county fairs or downtown Melbourne when they would have music going on. Though I do remember that my very first outside concert was Peter, Paul, and Mary when I was about 7.
I'm so sorry.
Puff the Magic Dragon is like the man.
You know what? Hey, you know what? Rock music in all its forms and all its genres and all its, just across the spectrum, is welcome here. I know you and I both have broad tastes. You know, we do enjoy our hard rock and our heavy metal, but we branch out from there. I'm not going to talk about that this week. We're going to just talk about Rockville. Want to get into it here? This seems to get bigger and bigger every year.
Absolutely. Because they only had 4 stages the last 2 years, and Fort Rock only had 2, and this year we've got 5 stages, which I honestly think 5 was a little too many.
We're going to put a pin in that and talk about that in a little bit, because we did have some complaints. We're going to tag that on to the end of this with some things. I do agree with you, but we'll talk about that a little bit more. This year, Welcome to Rockville, over the 4-day weekend, ran from Thursday to Sunday. They boasted over 200,000 people attended. Now, let's keep in mind, we're going to kind of drift into my pro wrestling here a little bit. They tend to confuse those numbers a bit because of that 200,000. Most of them, like us, were repeat offenders. We went all 4 days. We bought the whole weekend, whole 4-day weekend pass. And I would say probably 90% of the people there did that. Some people did just the weekend or just Thursday and Friday. Or some people just did one-day passes. They just had one day where, because it gets a little pricey.
Well, and then we had the people that would actually camp out at the International Speedway, and there was a very small number of bands, maybe 4 or 5, that did special shows on Wednesday night just for those people that were camping. A couple of those bands we did see later on in the weekend.
But yeah, New Year's Day played Wednesday and Thursday. That's the biggest one that I know because we made it a point to see New Year's Day. They were actually, I think, the first band
we
saw.
Hinder might have been there.
This weekend. Hinder was there. I don't know what day they played.
Wednesday.
But I know they played Wednesday. Okay, I didn't know if they were there for the rest of the lineup or not. But yeah, like I said, over 200,000 people totally going through there. Now, mind you, again, that's including the vendors and the staff and the security and, you know, all the ancillary people that were there. But still, that's huge.
It is. It's massive.
And they of paid attendance, I think Saturday I read somewhere was over 60,000.
It doesn't surprise me.
Which is practically the WrestleMania of hard rock shows, you know, in the United States. And it's absolutely amazing, these festivals that Danny Wimmer Presents puts on. You know, the Aftershock Festival, Louder Than Life, Sonic Temple are the, and then Welcome to Rockville are the big four.
Incarceration is another one.
Incarceration is another one. I'm not sure if that's Danny Wimmer or not. I'd have to look that up. But yeah, these huge music festivals, they end up drawing huge crowds. There's a lot of fun. And being a concert goer, and I know you have, you know, gone to concerts other than like the festivals. Mm-hmm. Do you prefer the festival or do you prefer the concert itself? Like a full-blown, just regular, like stadium concert or something?
It depends on the band that I'm listening to. There's certain bands that I really think are better in a live venue. Well, not live, but an outside venue as opposed to an inside venue. And then there's some bands that, you know, they just would probably be lost being in an outside venue because the acoustics are so different.
Right.
So it really would, to me, it would depend on who it was. But I love the energy that there is in a festival. And there's one of the things that they said about it is that it's therapy. It's octane therapy. And it really is, because you walk in and you're just like, okay, the rest of the world can go fuck itself and right. I'm going to have a good time.
You're absolutely contained in this little bubble and you're surrounded by tens of thousands of other people that are there for the same reason you are. We want to leave the bullshit at the door, come in, listen to some good music, have some good energy, some good vibe with good people. We got 4 days of that. I love the festival atmosphere. And like I said, when I went to Ozfest back in either, like I said, either 97 or 98, I didn't enjoy it. Mainly because I was just in a different point in life. It was hot. There's a bazillion bands. There's a ton of stages. And I was in a weird, like, stage in my music fandom because it was, like, the late 90s. And I grew up on, like, the 80s hair band stuff.
Yeah, and they weren't
and
having
those
as bands many of
weren't
those bands.
Doing that. Mm-hmm. So it was all these this influx of new bands, like, you know, Cold Chamber and Soulfly. And, you know, Tool was new to the scene. And just a whole bunch of bands like that that I really wasn't into at the time.
Yeah.
So I paid X amount of dollars to go to Ozfest to literally watch Ozzy and Megadeth. And that was it. And not understanding how festivals work, I was very let down by Megadeth and very let down by Tool. Because I was a big Tool fan at the time. Saw them and not understanding that when you go to see a band in the band, it's like, say, Tool and, you know, Soulfly and one other band. And Tool's the main act. They have a full stage and they have time.
The indoor venues.
The indoor or outdoor, but they have the time to go up there and do a full show.
Right.
If they have theatrics, if they have just different elaborate stage setups. And I'm not understanding at the time that with a festival, they have to scale that down.
Well, because, it's not just that either. When you stop and think about how long ago it was that you went to Ozfest, think about the leaps and bounds we've made in technology since then and the ability for the bands to now put on a more impressive show because they have access to better equipment these days because like pyrotechnics and stuff that
with that
years ago.
But I mean more specifically watching a stage set. Like I'll take In This Moment. Mm-hmm. When we watched them this weekend, they played what? Five, six songs maybe?
Somewhere between 6 and 10. I didn't keep track of them.
Something like that. But it was a scaled down set. Even her theatrics and everything that they do on there was scaled down because there's only so much time. Whereas, by contrast, when we saw them on the Kiss of Death tour with Ice Nine Kills and Avatar and New Year's Day, they could play more songs. They could do more things.
Yeah.
And because they had the time to do that. With
and
this,
the stage
it's literally
was a bit more, at that time when we saw them there, that stage itself is a permanent stage. It was not a temporary stage set up in the middle of the International Speedway, which, you know, when you've got the cars racing around, you're not going to see a stage like that in the middle of it.
Pretty much. So, but yeah, but not understanding how the festival things work, and it's literally you play, you get the hell off stage, so the next band can go on. I that was odd at first. And even now, the problem that I have with that, and it's not really a problem, is the rushing around to go from one stage to the next.
Oh, yeah.
You end up missing part of someone. So, because we did that on Friday and Sunday.
5 minutes between acts is not enough to traverse the entire Daytona Speedway.
If you've never been in the International Speedway, it's a mile-long track to begin with. That doesn't mean that you're walking a mile from stage to stage, because the way the setup is, they have what I call the two main stages at opposite ends of the Speedway. And what they did with two of the smaller stages this year, I actually liked, because they had the Vortex stage and the Inferno stage, similar setup, kind of facing each other, but the acoustically, they didn't over...
It was a scaled-down version of the larger stages,
right,
because the bands they were putting on there were known bands and everything, and they were good bands, but they were not expected to draw as much of a crowd. And it was a much more...
That bit them in the ass, though.
Yes,
on
it
one
did.
Band, and we're going to talk about that. That bit them in the ass, that setup did for one of the bands, because they didn't read the room. We're going to talk
right
about that in the complaint... In the complaint portion of this show.
It was just a more intimate, I think.
It
and
was.
It was easier to bounce back between the two stages.
Right.
But then again, with the big stages, you know, you're talking about, like, huge bands.
The big act, the main, you know, the main event acts, so to speak, and some of the smaller acts there. Yeah, all in all, I love the festival vibe. I don't, you know, we're getting older. Ish.
Mm-hmm.
So rushing back and forth to try and see, you know, 10 bands a day gets a bit much on these old knees.
Not
and
only
these old
10,
feet.
Man. We saw more than 10 a day.
No, I counted it up. Out of over 100 bands for the weekend, we saw 31.
Yeah.
Over
well, that's
four,
only
over
because
four
we
days.
Missed one.
We did. We missed one, and then there were a couple where we had to make some decisions.
But that was the jogging thing, too. It's like having to bounce back and forth, and
right,
you know, you have to eat at least something during the day.
Right. You got to stop for drinks. You got to stop for food. One of the things, we're in a Facebook group, Dick, and I'm going to post this in there. We're in a Facebook group for the people that went to Rockville. A lot of people were complaining about the prices of food and the prices of alcohol and things like that. And you and I not only do rock festivals, we do Ren festivals.
Yes.
We know that there's a markup on all the food.
Oh,
and you have to, when you go to these things, you've got to make a business decision. It's like, okay, are we going to grab food that we know is going to be cheaper on the way and eat enough to where we don't get too hungry?
Yeah.
And budget yourself out. Obviously, you want to go and you want to have a good time. And, you know, we want to have a couple of drinks just to kind of loosen up and enjoy the show. But
well,
you also,
sometimes you can get drinks there that you can't get anywhere else.
Right. And that's the other thing.
And food, too.
And food. So you've got to make a business decision, or you just go, look, knowing you're going to spend the money.
Yeah,
and
you're going
to spend. And if you have it
bank.
To spend, you have it to spend. So that is kind of a downside of the whole thing, but it's also expected.
Yes.
You know, it's like you can't go in there and say, I can't believe I paid. Yeah. I can.
I can.
Yeah, I can believe you paid that much.
I think it's insane to spend $17 on an alcoholic drink that I could probably go home and make for like maybe $5. But still.
Don't hate on me for my Jack Daniels drinks.
It was not a Jack Daniels drink that I saw for $17.50.
Those cans of the Jack Daniels, the down-home punch?
No.
Yeah, those were like $15-16.
I didn't even pay attention to it.
I did, because I drank them.
Yeah, I didn't, so I didn't pay attention to it. But having the free water is a good thing.
Yes.
Because 3 years ago, they didn't do that.
Right.
And they started doing it last year. And that's the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
And I think they're required to now.
I think they are.
The heat
in Florida, and that's something, you know, again, we can talk about here just for a minute or two. I don't think you appreciate, because I know a lot of people came from out of state. Now, those of us that live here, we're laughing at all of you. Politely, but we were laughing at all of you because
we talked
here
to people from Washington State even.
Right.
And it's like, that's a long way to come. And so, at this time of year, they don't realize.
No, they don't think it's Florida, and we know Florida gets hot, but it's early May. How hot can it be? Look, motherfuckers, it was 95 on Thursday with a 97 heat index, and it wasn't much cooler on Friday.
No, I think it was only like 92
it
on
was
Friday.
Like 92 with like a 95 heat index, and we were roasting. By Thursday, I was cooked.
Oh,
and we didn't get burned. There were some poor folks there that by Thursday afternoon, they were bright red. I'm like, you must not be from around here, guys.
There were some people, I think, that were there first thing in the morning on Thursday, and they were red from listening to the bands on Wednesday night because they were camping out.
Pretty much.
I was like, Lord, sunscreen ain't that expensive?
It's not. SPF 50, folks. Come on.
50. I use 70.
We use 70 just because we know better. The weather was key this year because if for those of you that are listening to us that were there in 23 and even worse in 22, we had some horrible weather move through in 2022 and we missed a lot of key bands, like a lot of people that we really wanted to see. Guns N' Roses,
Guns
we missed
Roses
out
got
on.
Rained out.
Breaking Benjamin.
Breaking Benjamin got rained out. Skillet got rained out. A lot of them got rained out.
Yeah, there were like 8 or 10 bands that we wanted to see that got rained out.
And it's not the rain that's the problem. It's the lightning.
Lightning and thunder.
Because it's a requirement if you're outside and lightning strikes within a certain number of miles.
One mile. Because that's the way it is at the theme parks. If you're on a ride at the theme parks and they have lightning strikes and it's closer than a mile, they'll shut it down.
Especially with all those electronics. I mean, think about how much electricity is running through all of that stuff already. Do you really want to put all of those people at risk and have to fork out all that money when the insurance comes through?
Right.
So, yeah, it was a lot of bad with the thunder and lightning 3 years ago, but last year wasn't as bad.
We only missed a couple of bands. There was one day where we had quite a bit of rain. We started to go see Avatar. We got
That's
about
right.
two songs in on Avatar, and the rain started, so we missed out on Avatar. For the life of me, because it wasn't nearly as significant in 23 as it was in 22, I don't remember who else we missed. I only remember that one because that's when the rain started.
Well, and I don't remember if it was 22 or 23 that we were watching Shinedown.
22.
It was 22. We were watching Shinedown because they were playing Planet Zero, and you could see the lightning in the background.
It was
one of those things that I really wish we could have recorded that, because it was just like,
I wish they could have finished their set, because they were killing it. Like, Shinedown was smoking. Brent just puts on a hell of a good show.
Yes,
Shinedown puts on a good show. And they're awesome live. And they had the lightning going off behind the stage, and it was just absolutely fucking incredible. But then it moved in too close, and they had to shut them down about 3 or 4 songs in. So that was a bummer. But yeah, the weather this year, not a goddamn cloud in the sky for a Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, because Saturday we had some overcast. It was overcast for a little while. But it was not, like, scary overcast.
No.
It was like the perfect level of overcast to keep you from absolutely dying from the sun.
It was also about 10 degrees cooler on Saturday and Sunday.
Yes, it was.
Dropped down into like the mid-low 80s.
Low 80s, yeah.
Which is perfect festival weather.
Because
we had a nice breeze coming across there. It's nice open-air, you know, stadium. Or not stadium, but the track itself is open air. You had a good breeze coming through there. So Saturday and Sunday, aside from the fact that we were exhausted and just burnt out from Thursday and Friday, we're pretty damn awesome.
But that's another thing that people who aren't native to Florida take for granted. That when, just because it's overcast or cooler, that you're not going to get as burned as badly.
Right.
You get burned just as badly.
It's the UV, not necessarily the sun. The sun makes it feel worse.
Yeah, and if there's a high breeze, people don't realize it's not always sun. Sometimes you get wind chapped.
Yep.
And the other thing that, you know, and I'm guilty of this, I totally spaced the fact that I should have been wearing some kind of sunscreen on my lips, and my lips got a little bit sunburned, but the rest of me didn't.
Yeah.
So.
All in all, though, the weather held out awesome. I'm glad it did. Nobody got rained out, which, like I said, if you were there in 2022, a lot of people were disgruntled over the 20. It's nothing the venue can do. It's, you know, not their fault, not anybody's fault. It's one of those things. Florida, in the beginning of summer. You know.
They have the disclaimers on there about the weather. And if you're one of those people that's going to get upset because your bands get, you know, rained out or something like that, don't go, because
you cannot control
the weather.
Can't control it, can't predict it. I do think they went about 2 weeks earlier this year.
They did.
Which I believe made the difference, because literally 2 days after this festival ended,
the
fucking heavens opened up. You know, in the entirety of Florida. So we really lucked out this year, which was pretty amazing. Let's talk for a few minutes about outfits. We saw some. It's always, people go to these festivals and they just go nuts. Like, everybody's freak flag flies in all the best and worst ways.
Yeah.
We saw some incredible outfits. Ton of bananas. Guys running around in banana costumes.
Bananas. A lot of fishnet everywhere.
Yeah.
And actually quite a few people wearing kilts, you included.
I love my kilts.
You know, it's too bad that women can't get away with wearing kilts the same way guys do, because it would have been nice to be able to air all of that business out.
It's so nice to free ball with the kilt, especially when it was like 95 degrees out and you don't want to sit there and wear underwear and sweat your nuts off. It's not
fun.
Yeah,
but free tacoing around is not a good
idea.
However, there were quite a few women, and, you know, hey, if you got it, flaunt it. You know, it's your body. Do what you want with it. But there were a lot of titties hanging out everywhere.
There was titties and ass everywhere.
There's titties and ass everywhere. And
you had your muscle guys walking around, though. There were some really buff-looking dudes walking around. Yes, there were. Like, so you girls got fed this weekend, too. Don't even...
Yeah, but it's not the same. It's not the same. It's like guys can go topless all the time, and nobody says anything. But if a girl goes topless all the time, somebody loses their
Rockville,
mind.
Rockville, women went topless, and nobody really made a big boo out of it. It's like, okay, titties.
Yeah, well, you know.
Titties with a little
bit of Sebastian Bach got some titties in his face. There was a girl on somebody's shoulders, and she just went... Woohoo! And they showed it on big screen.
Yep, like... there's the titties. So, but yeah, we saw some of the outfits were pretty crazy. Some of them were like, again, taking this Florida heat into consideration.
Yeah.
You know, they had the guys out there, you know, because Slipknot went back to their, they have their jumpsuits that they wear and the masks and everything. And people were dressed up like that with a full mask. I'm like, brother, how is that not melting to your face? And, like, how are you not dying? Then we had the guy in the bear suit.
Oh, I know.
It was a guy in a bear suit all weekend
long. 4 days.
And it was funny because we were sitting at lunch with a couple and we were talking. And he walked by. And I'm like, oh, there's bear suit guy. I'm like, by this point, it's Saturday. And he's been in the same bear suit in the Florida heat for 3 days. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, brother, how are you tolerating that? And when this weekend is over, I wouldn't even bother washing that.
Please just burn it.
Just send it up in flames, man, and send it to the gods above. And one of the girls was sitting with us. They're like, honey, he doesn't remember anything. He's been on shrooms all weekend long. So that poor kid probably didn't even think twice about being in that bear suit.
He probably didn't even feel the heat. He wasn't feeling very much of anything.
No pain at all. That kid wasn't.
Yeah.
What else? God, I saw a guy in a full Macho Man Randy Savage outfit.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not talking like 87, 88 Macho Man where he wrestled in his underwear. I'm talking like full leather jacket, pants, hat, Macho Man Randy
sunglasses,
Savage.
And yeah, that was pretty... Yeah, but I remember seeing him last year, too.
He's been there all 3 years.
So he's been there all 3 years.
And he's probably been there more than that. That's just the three that we went.
He dresses the same in all of them. And, you know, wear whatever you want, but my motto for it is I want to be comfortable, I want to be cool, I don't want to have to deal with chub rub, I don't want blisters on my feet, and I don't want to get sunburned.
We got blisters on the feet, unfortunately.
I didn't get a whole lot of blisters.
My feet got tore up.
So, you know, I was just like, seeing some people and what they're wearing, it's like, how can you be comfortable?
Yeah,
how can you even enjoy what you're watching if you feel uncomfortable? I just want to be able to be comfortable. And listen, I'm not going to flash anybody to look good or anything like that. I'm going because I want to listen.
I
want to remember.
Some folks were wearing it, man, and that's all right. It was a good time. Everybody had a blast.
Some folks weren't wearing it.
Yeah, they sure were. So let's get in a little bit to the bands. We'll go day by day. Just the stuff we saw. I'm going to go ahead and preface everything that's... We pussied out on all the main acts. We didn't see any of the main acts. Night one was headlined by Motley Crue, and we were thinking about things, and it's like, we grew up on Motley Crue music.
Yeah.
That was our era in the 80s, you know, late 80s, early 90s. That was our stuff, and there's a small part of me that out of nostalgia's sake was like, I'd really like to see Motley Crue.
But I didn't want my heart broken.
Yeah, you get a little worried, like, can these guys still go? Have they still got it? Am I going to be disappointed with this? Plus, we had an early day. Like, we got there about 1. We got in just as New Year's Day was getting ready to start.
Mm-hmm.
We went over and saw them. They started on one of the stages at 3. So we got there around 2 just to get the lay of the land. And we had a busy day on Thursday. We had a lot of bands that we wanted to see. And by the time we got close to the crew coming, it's like, look, we can stay for a couple songs, or we can beat the crowd, and we can get the hell out of here.
Well, not to mention the fact that you had an early morning the next day. And
I had to get
up
at 6 to take my... We live close to the stadium. We're about an hour and a half away from Daytona. So we just drove back home. But, you know, still getting home at, you know, midnight, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and having to get up at 6 to take your kid to work is not fun.
Yep.
So we made a decision. We didn't stick around for Motley Crue on night 1. But we did check out New Year's Day. This is our 3rd time seeing them.
I think so, yeah.
They were a lot of fun. They were on one of the smaller stages.
She gets better every year.
She
does. They get better all the time. And she's absolutely gorgeous. And she's got a great voice. And her music is catchy and sticks in your head.
It is. It
is. And it's good.
From there, we went over and we watched Flyleaf. Now, this is where things kind of fall off the rails
a little bit. And I don't think
this was entirely their fault. The Octane stage this year had a lot of issues, and this has kind of been a recurring problem
over
the years.
Just on Thursday, though, because I think it was better by Friday.
By Friday and Saturday, I think they had fixed it, but Flyleaf just... something was off with the sound. Yeah. It was neat to see them, especially now that Lacey's back with them. Mm-hmm. But it just, the sound was not good, and I kind of felt bad for them in high, because at first I'm like, God, she sounds horrible.
Yeah.
But then I don't think it was entirely her, because we saw or three more bands, and they didn't sound any better.
No, and you're right, because originally I was like, I was so stoked to see them, because I was worried that I would never get to see Flyleaf with Lacey Sturm because she had left the band. Right. And then when she came back, I was like, yes, it's about time. Thank God. And they're coming. Yay, good. So I got to watch them, and I'm like, oh, that wasn't as good as I wanted it to be.
Nope.
And then later on, when we heard other bands having the same problem with the sound on that same stage, I'm like, okay, well, I feel better for her now.
Which brings me to Skillet, who sounded a little better, but there was still some sound issues when Skillet was on there. And which is disappointing, because one of the bands that got rained out 2 years ago that we were dying to see was Skillet. So here we are, the weather's beautiful, there's not a cloud in the sky. We're like, okay, we're finally going to see Skillet. And the sound fucked them.
Not terrible. It wasn't quite as bad, but they have different kinds of voices than Lacey Sturm. It's mostly, I think it was the higher pitch sounds that they were having trouble with.
Yes.
With the sound, because even the girl that sings with Skillet, her vocals were
Jen
a little difficult.
Ledger? Yeah, she sounded...
Her vocals were a little more difficult to understand than the guy. It's like, don't ask me their names. Yeah. I don't know their names. I just know the songs.
She didn't sound good, and again, I don't think it was her. No, it was the sound, and you know, I feel horrible for them, because they were out there playing their asses off.
Oh yeah, they were doing a great job.
And you know, the sound just did them no favors at all. Next up on this day, we had a bit of a for me, this had no interest for you, but it was a little bit of a conflict, because they both played on different stages at the same time. It came down to Anthrax or Lacuna Coil. And I really wanted to see Lacuna Coil, but it's Anthrax. And Anthrax for me is a legacy band. You know, I was never the biggest Anthrax fan, but I like some of their songs. Mm-hmm. And given the fact that they're one of the pioneers of thrash metal, and just to see them, I can't tell you the last time I know of that Anthrax even came to the area to see.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm at a festival. I'm like, okay, it's Anthrax. I got to see Anthrax. Unfortunately, Lacuna Coil lost out. I thought Anthrax sounded really good. I know it's not your thing.
I don't know what they sounded like. A long time ago.
I thought they sounded really good. It was fun to go out there and watch. I'm like, okay, yeah, fuck yeah.
The guitar was great.
Yeah.
I like the music. I was not super crazy about.
Yeah, you don't like the singer.
I don't like.
You don't like
the
singer.
Yeah, I'm not super crazy on the weird screechy thing.
So from there, we had, you know, we kind of bounced around a little bit, got some food. The big one for me at about 8 o'clock was Judas Priest. We got about as close to the stage for Judas Priest as we could. And from there we got to catch, because what they did on the two big stages was, if you were standing at one stage, but there was a band on the stage at the other side, they would continue playing that band on the video screens on the stage we're standing at. So we got to catch the tail end of Mudvayne, which was pretty cool. But then Judas Priest came out, and this was a bucket list.
Oh, yeah.
Bucket list band for me.
And I never listened to Judas Priest when they were first coming out. And we had this discussion when they first put out the lineup, Judas Priest, and I'm like, I don't really know a whole lot of songs by Judas Priest, so guess who has whip out his like greatest hits of Judas
Priest.
I
had the double set.
Playing it in the car for like 2 months straight. I couldn't hear anything but Judas Priest when I got in the car.
Oh, I don't even want to hear it, because I sat in your car for 3 fucking months listening to the same 7 Pink songs because I can't operate your fucking CD player in your car because you're the only one that can. It likes you to tickle its nuts or something to get the damn CD out. That's not my fault.
That's okay. I know how to change it, and I left Judas Priest in there
Good.
On purpose because I was actually enjoying it. So I was a little more familiar with it, and I'd heard Judas Priest songs before, but I didn't really think much of them until Rob Halford did the duet with Maria Brinkin in this moment when they did Black Wedding.
Right.
And then I was like, wow, I like his voice.
Yeah.
And so we were listening to other songs by them. So by the time we got there, you know, I was really stoked to see Judas Priest, too.
Yeah,
and
you knew what you were listening to.
Yeah, and I was super impressed. You know, I mean, he's what?
He's in his 70s now.
In his 70s?
He's in his 70s.
And he still got it vocally.
He was amazing.
He still got it vocally. He did really good.
That was such a... And I love the fact that they bring these legacy acts in. Like, last year we saw Alice Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And Alice Cooper was fucking awesome. So good. The year before, you got to see Kiss. I had seen Kiss in the Hot in the Shade tour back in the 80s. I thought they were amazing then. I wanted you to experience that because this was it for Kiss.
Yeah.
They were on the last leg of their final tour before they finally hung it up. And I was glad you got to experience that because that's like a once-in-a-lifetime thing for you.
Yeah, and when we go back to Fort Rock, that was where we saw Ozzy.
Yep.
I saw Ozzy for the first time and got to introduce my son to Ozzy.
Yep.
Because that was the year he turned 16.
Yeah.
So... Yeah.
So we're reaching the point in the night where we've got to haul ass back and forth from one end of the state to one end of the speedway to the other because you've got the one stage on one end, one stage on the other. We started off with Skillet on one end. We ended up with Judas Priest on the other. Now we're going back to the other end to go watch Disturbed,
yes.
who was on the Octane stage. And again, they got
fucked
by the audio.
Awful. I mean, and so here's the thing. Even with their sound being fucked up, he still sounded amazing.
David sounded amazing.
He looked so mad because the sound was jacked up.
Yeah.
And then getting on to the Sound of Silence, it was wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I don't know if they did something to tweak the sound before that or whatever, or if it's just because he's got that powerful, amazing voice, but when he did the Sound of Silence... I almost had tears in my eyes because he does such a phenomenal job.
This is where it gets very cool, and this is where you get a rarity on the, at least for what we've seen, because there are a lot of duets that we would love to see.
Yeah.
And this is part of the problem that you get into with, you know, these festivals is you'll get this duet, like we talked earlier about Maria Brink and Rob Halford doing Black Wedding, and Rob Halford and Five Finger Death Punch doing Lift Me Up.
Yes.
You had this... Disturbed got a newer song out with, of all people, Ann Wilson from Bart. And they start playing the song. Now, I know on the tour circuits and things like that, he's had some of the women from other bands come out and play
with him. The singers from Plush,
From Plush came out and sang with him.
And she does a really good job.
She's good. We're going to talk about them in a minute because we saw them on day four and they were a nice little gem. They really were. Plush was awesome. But they actually brought out Ann Wilson.
Yes.
And I remember he's playing the song. I'm like, who are they going to get to sing her part? And all of a sudden this woman comes out and I'm looking at her. I'm like, can't be. And you looked at me like, who is that? I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's Ann Wilson.
Yeah.
And then she started singing and there was absolutely no doubt about it. I'm getting goosebumps. I'm getting goosebumps talking about it.
I know. It was just like, it was like one of the only, it was like the top to everything. There was nothing that would top that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like,
as much as great as Judas Priest was, Ann Wilson coming on and singing the duet with...
Was moment of the weekend.
Yes.
Moment of the weekend for me, at least, and the type of stuff that we like.
Yep.
So that pretty much wrapped it up. We had Disturbed, and then after that was Motley Crue. Like I said, we bailed out before Motley Crue.
Yeah.
We just, I looked at her and...
People had mentioned, some people really, you know, they enjoyed it. Other people said...
It stunk.
That stunk.
There was no in between. If you loved it, you loved it. If you hated it, it was awful.
So that's why I'm kind of like, missed opportunity, but I'm kind of glad I did miss it because what if I were disappointed and it would have like ruined the rest of the day. So going out with Ann Wilson.
that was a perfect way to cap off the night.
Yeah.
Getting into Friday. Friday, again, the weather was gorgeous. We got in there. We got in earlier this time because it was a band I wanted to see at 1 o'clock, Power Man 5000.
Yeah.
And you'd never really listened to them.
Nope.
I've loved Power Man 5000 for years and years. They were another kind of a bucket list type of band for me to see. I thought they killed it.
Okay.
I thought they were fun.
I have a lot of good memories for me. I don't know.
Again, getting back to my wrestling podcast stuff, the tag team, the Dudley Boys, came out to one of their songs, the one with Drop the Bombshell.
Okay.
That was their intro music for a little while. So that was a lot of fun getting to see that one live. I got some video of that. From there, we got a little bit busy. We saw a little bit of Sleep Theory, didn't we?
On
one of the sides.
I think
one of the side
stages. A couple songs by Sleep Theory. Then we went over and watched a couple songs.
Rain City Drive. This is where we really started running from stage to stage, and we had to watch two or three songs from one band because another one overlapping. So we went over and watched a little bit of Rain City Drive, who were pretty good. From there, we went back. We got a nice little surprise here. We went back to the Octane stage, which by then they had pretty much fixed
the sound.
Got introduced to a band called Kim Dracula.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was a lot of fun. The kid opens up the show. He comes out of the coffin. He's got a really interesting voice. That gravelly, screaming voice, but he does things with it.
He's got a very versatile voice.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, Kim Dracula was a lot of fun. We, of course, couldn't stay for none of that, or not a whole lot of that, because right after that was Nonpoint.
Yeah.
I wanted to go watch some of Nonpoint. Again, we ran straight from Nonpoint right into Living Color, who was back on. And again, we're going back and forth now because we're going from the Apex to the Octane. We go back, we catch about maybe 15 minutes of Living Color, which again is a legacy act for me.
Yeah.
And they were fun because I just like to listen to a band jam.
Yeah.
And they went into like a 5 or 10 minute jam session right in the middle of their set. It sounded incredible. Corey Glover can still sing his ass off. Vernon Reid can play his ass off flawlessly. Living Color was good to see. I'm not familiar with a lot of their music, but just listening to them play was a pleasure. Absolute pleasure. I'm glad they were there.
Some of the songs, but they weren't something I really listened to much when they first came out.
Right.
You know how strict my parents were.
Yeah. You lived a different upbringing than I did.
Yes, I did.
So from there, we had to rush back to the other side to catch some of Starset.
Yes. Which, Starset is an amazing band. Their songs are beautiful. They're sung well. They're played incredibly. I don't ever want to see them in concert again.
No, it was not an entertaining show.
No.
It sounded really good.
It's not even that. It's that they're just like, they're not a kind of band that you really want to go just sit and listen to. This was not the venue for them.
Okay.
If you're going to go and sit and listen to them, they're one of those ones that's an indoor one.
Gotcha.
That you can actually sit down and enjoy all of the melody in their music. I know that sounds kind of weird when you think about heavy metal, hard rock, and stuff like that, enjoying the melody. But their music really does go over a lot of different ways.
It didn't translate well in an open air venue.
No.
Yeah. Nope, gotcha.
But
I agree with that.
They sounded really, really good.
They sounded good. Yeah. No, I agree. I would have to agree with that. There was a band that we missed because we were watching Starset, and from Starset we were rushing over to, I think we got food in between Starset and In This Moment. The band called Kitty.
Yeah, we did miss them.
We missed Kitty, and I had never even heard of them before this weekend. And Octane on SiriusXM has been doing the Welcome to Rockville exclusive channel, and they've been doing band interviews and things like that. Well, they interviewed a couple of the girls from Kitty. I guess they came back after like a 10-year hiatus or something.
They all had kids.
Yeah, everybody just had change of life things, and the band split up. They played a few of their songs. They're really freaking good.
Yeah, they are pretty good.
And now I'm like bummed that we didn't take like at least a couple minutes and go watch a couple minutes of their set.
Yeah.
So, but from there, like I said, we got food. We rushed over to In This Moment. Again, we get a little busy here. We saw In This Moment. And then from there,
Maria Brink rocked the house.
Oh, God. She always commands the stage. She's such a force of nature on stage.
Yeah.
And just her holding the crowd in the palm of her hands when she does four.
Oh,
just,
I know.
it's an amazing experience. Even if you're not like a huge fan of their music, the stage set is always fun. There's elaborate costumes and masks.
It's as much theatric. And it's not just her either. It's the entire band does good. And she's got her dancers that do an amazing job.
I told you guys, I do a wrestling podcast, and in the world of pro wrestling, not so different from the music industry or the entertainment industry, it's a lot of times about the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as much the show as it is the work of the music and or the wrestling or the acting or whatever medium you're watching. And she really has the stage presence and the showmanship down. Maria Brink, and aside from being just sex on legs.
Oh, I know.
She's just an amazing presence
on
stage.
I'm totally straight, and I would absolutely go for that. She kind of makes me think of, it was like everybody always used to talk about Alice Cooper putting on like a show.
Yeah.
A huge show and all the stuff that he did, which we saw last year that he does put on an amazing show. And Maria Brink is right there with him.
Yep.
In This Moment is right there with Alice Cooper on level of showman or queen even because it's just like, and she translates her love of the music and her actually what she's feeling, everybody in that crowd is going to feel too.
It does. It gives you goosebumps to listen to it. From there, we rushed over. We watched a little bit of Offspring, and the Offspring was a surprising one for me because I didn't know what to expect. I liked their music back in the the late 90s, early 2000s. Never anybody that was on my radar to go see in concert. Not sure it's anybody I would pay strictly to see. However, they killed it.
Yeah.
They were fucking awesome.
They sounded
just as good
really
live.
Good. And it was interesting because they were on the Octane stage. And
driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
They've worked out all of those little glitches for the sound.
I would say by this point, the Octane stage had figured out the sound and they got it all together, which is good because we still had 2.5 more days to go.
And I wonder, sort of, and I think I mentioned this one time the other day, if the reason that the Octane stage, the sound is not as good as the Apex stage, or was it the Drift stage? No, the
Octane was the Drift. The Apex was the other one at the other
end. So, that the Octane Drift stage, that maybe the reason that they don't, that their sound is so off, is because there literally is a difference in the way the wind blows and all of that kind of stuff.
I think this was all technical. I think we need to talk to Jose Mangan and tell him to tighten up his ship over there.
Well, you go for that.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll work out for me. Jose doesn't even know who I am. From there, we took a little bit of a break, and we went right into, for me, the concert of the night, Falling in Reverse.
They were so
incredible. They were fucking on point, man. And like I said, I've only been introduced to their music in the last year or two.
Yeah.
And I've slowly, at first, I was like, I don't know about this crap. It grew on me to the point where I went from like, okay, this is okay, to I really, really like it. Incredibly live.
Oh, I
know. Incredible live. Like, Ronnie Radke's really good live, very good with the crowd. Mm-hmm. The band sounded incredible.
And you could see, I think the one thing that really, really caught my attention when it came to his presence on the stage was when the crowd would begin to sing the songs, you could see the utter amazement and glee and joy on his face, seeing that his music was, people knew it.
Yeah.
It was such a surprise for him, and he just looked like a little kid in a candy store.
He was very appreciative of the response that the audience was giving him to the music he was playing. It was genuine. It was real. You felt it. And then we felt it coming from him.
Yes.
And I thought that was incredibly cool. There was a point in the show where he stopped everything because there were mosh pits going down in front. I guess a couple people either got creamed pretty good. So either somebody passed out or something. He stopped the show. Some people on the Facebook chat were kind of shitting on that. I'm like, look, man. I was like, look, I know people. You're taking your life in your hands when you go down to the pit. You're taking your safety in your hands. But for the entertainer to think about, one, the safety of the people there. Two, the liability to the people putting on the show. You know, somebody gets out there and gets freaking busted up out there. Mm-hmm. That's on someone. And unfortunately, we're in a society where people like to sue and play victim.
Yeah.
And, you know, it happens. So for him to stop and take a minute to say, look, let's... Because Maria Brink did the same thing at the show we went to.
The show we went to when we saw I Sign Kills.
Right. She stopped the show because a couple people passed out in the pit. She spread... And this is where she had complete control of the crowd.
Yeah.
Because she played crowd control. She divided the crowd.
You move that way, you move that way. And he did the same thing.
Right, he did.
He's like, let people in.
So that they can help.
Everybody back up.
I thought that was incredibly cool. I put him over for that.
I thought it was amazing that he was actually able, through this entire show and all of the lights and everything going on around him and seeing all of the other people, that he was actually able to recognize
the situation
that someone was harmed.
Right.
And react appropriately.
Right.
So, it shows that obviously, yes, they are into their music because he went right back into the music and it sounded just as good as it did before.
Seamless. It was absolutely seamless.
Which, he's another one, they're another one of those bands that I'm like, okay, you could listen to them anywhere.
Yeah.
You could listen to them indoor, you could listen to them outdoor, you can listen to them recorded. And I've had people tell me, oh, live music should always sound like it does when it's recorded. That's not true.
Yeah.
It doesn't always, because you do have variances in acoustics and all of that kind of stuff. And when you're recording in a recording studio, you're talking about a sound dampened room that all you're doing is recording. And it's going to sound different than in a live environment where you've got all of these other factors.
There's a lot of variables.
And they remind me of Shinedown in that they sound just as good live as they do recorded, just with more energy and oomph. And that's why I don't like recordings of live music very much.
You like to go to the live shows.
I like to go to the live shows because, to me, it loses something in the recording translation of live music. It loses that energy.
It does.
I think theirs would maintain the energy.
It probably would. Falling in Reverse ended our Friday night because there wasn't much we wanted to see other than that.
There wasn't anything that could follow that.
Well, no, for me, that was it. Jelly Roll played. Apparently, people really, really like Jelly Roll. The people that like Jelly Roll really liked him. You questioned whether or not he was appropriate for that venue because we got Hardy last year.
Yeah.
And Hardy, I thought Hardy was good.
He's a
bit more rock. Jelly Roll, he's got one song that I like. And I was not dying to see Jelly Roll.
I like Jelly Roll when I listen to him on the radio. I didn't, because I don't mind the crossover country and rock and stuff that goes together like that. And he's a little harder than what people usually call country rock.
Right.
But I don't think this was the right venue for him.
Yeah.
I don't think Rockville is the right venue for someone that is that country.
Right. So,
but he sounds good.
Everybody
that saw him
said he sounded really good. Same thing with Limp Bizkit. I like songs by Limp Bizkit. I was not overly dying to see them. Again, it's not a slight on them. I'm now on my second day. I'm old. It's hot. I'm tired.
Yes.
We're leaving before the 16,000 people that signed on to see Limp Bizkit and probably more that actually showed. Got in their cars and left. We made, a business decision. We hauled ass out of there.
Well, the one song that I really would be desperate to see from them, they were not going to do because they won't do it live. For one, it's a cover. And for another, Slow. I would love to have seen them do
Behind Blue Eyes.
Behind Blue
from
Eyes.
The Gothic soundtrack. Yeah.
Yes. And I absolutely love that song.
Except
I like the original of it. And
they've got songs I love. Like, Break Stuff and Rollin' and, all the bigger hits that they had. I really, really liked. I just, at the end of the day, I'm like, really want to see a guy my age going up there. So now the end of the day was no. Again, not a slight on them, but just
falling in reverse. It's like I said, you really couldn't follow.
No, there was
that.
Nothing
they
that was going to
so
top
awesome.
That for me. That was a good way for us to end the night. I missed Saturday. Hang on. Let's get back to Saturday here. Saturday was a bit of a slow day for us. There weren't a whole lot of bands that we were dying to see. We didn't get there till late in the afternoon, and the first band that we saw when we got there was Mammoth, Wolfgang Van Halen, because he was there 2 years ago.
Yes, and
but
we didn't
he overlapped
see
with The Who,
mm-hmm.
and we wanted to see The Who.
Yes.
So unfortunately, in 2022, or was it 22 or 3?
It was 22.
Did The Who play in 22?
Yeah, because they didn't play last year. They played the year before.
Either way, Wolfgang lost out to The Who because he wanted to see The Who.
Which they were like, I want them to come back like
they were incredible. But Wolfgang was incredible. Again, back
really
to
good.
Similar to Living Color, more of a guy you go to listen to jam. I don't know a lot of his songs, but again, being Eddie Van Halen's kid and being the fact that his music is exceptionally good.
And he's very good at guitar.
He's very good guitarist. His music played really well live. Hell of a good time. We were pretty close there.
Yeah,
we were almost right up on the stage for that one. That one was pretty good. From there, we didn't see, but we stuck around for Primus.
Yes,
which
we did.
Again was, and I had just introduced Tina to Primus. This like on the way there, they played a Primus song. She's like, okay, I actually like this. For as quirky as he is, for as odd as Primus can sound, Les Claypool's an absolute.
The music is really great.
The music is incredible. He's such a great bass player, and it was a fun thing to see.
Yeah.
We stuck around for a couple songs.
We may not ever see them again.
Right. Much like Anthrax, I couldn't tell you the last time a Primus show happened within driving distance of us.
And I knew the name. I just never heard any of them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and that's not saying no. I may have heard some of their songs in passing, but like I said, I had such a sheltered... My parents wouldn't even let me listen to Bon Jovi.
Wow.
So...
That's great. So you know what to do. I corrupted this poor child.
Oh, don't go there.
From there, we went on to, and I want to talk about this one for a few minutes, Greta Van Fleet. And this was one of the doctors that I work for is a huge Greta Van Fleet fan. And he actually tried to give me tickets like a year or so ago.
I know, I really
But it was like 3 hours away on a Tuesday night. And I got to come back to work. I'm like, I think I'll pass. So when I heard they were coming this year to Rockville, I was like, okay, this is cool.
Yeah.
They were incredible.
They were really, really, really good. I was very impressed. And I had never heard anything by Greta Van Fleet. You've been talking about them for a couple of years, and I've just... Because I've been working from home, I don't listen to the radio as much. I listen to, you know, whatever playlist I have going on, or I put on some kind of show for background noise so I don't feel alone at home.
Right.
So I hadn't listened to them. It was really worth it to see them live for the very first time to listen to any of their music. It was just like, oh yeah, this is how they should be experienced. Yeah, it was really great.
It's so neat because, again, when I talked earlier in the show, I talked about the spectrum of rock music. And unfortunately, in certain rock fans, certain fandoms, and I equate this again to like wrestling fandom, a lot of people tend to gatekeep. You know, they'll hear a certain voice type or a certain music type, and they don't, that's not real rock and roll, that's not hard rock, that's not rock. It's all a blended genre, it's a spectrum. Yeah. And it's okay to like a thing without gatekeeping or let people enjoy a thing. And one of the biggest complaints that Greta Van Fleet gets that I see online is that they're derivative of Led Zeppelin, of Queen, of this one, of that one. And I'm like, we don't have enough of that.
That's the thing. It's like when people say they're derivative, it's like when you stop and listen to all music.
It's all derivative.
At this point now, there's very few people coming out with brand new sounds.
Right.
And the thing is that when you listen to Greta Van Fleet, yes, they're what people call derivative of. You know, but the feeling that I got listening to them was the feeling I got the first time I listened to Guns N' Roses. The first time I listened to, specifically by Guns N' Roses, November Rain.
Right.
It was that, oh my God, my heart is going to explode. I just absolutely adore this. It's sound, the sound, everything, the feeling, the emotion, all of that. And the first time that I remember listening to Stairway to Heaven, the first time I remember listening to We Are the Champions. Right. All of these bands that are huge, it's like, it's not so much that they're derivative, it's that they evoke the same feeling.
Right. I would say there's a lot of bands, and a few of them played Rockville, where if I took songs of theirs that I didn't know, from like three or four different bands, closed my eyes and just listened to the songs that I didn't know, I'd think it was all the same band.
Some of them, yeah.
Some of them, yeah. There ain't shit that played this weekend that sounded like Greta Van Fleet.
No, nothing.
Not a single one. And to me, that's what makes a band great.
And they didn't even sound... Because we saw that... who was it? The Led Zeppelin...
Oh, yeah. They had Jason Bonham had the Zeppelin tribute band last year, which was incredible.
And they did a fabulous job. They sounded just like...
They did. They sounded just like Led Zeppelin.
And so... Even you could have put the two, you could have put Greta Van Fleet and that band on the same day, and they still would have had a different sound.
Right, they would have. So yeah, it just was absolutely incredible show. I personally, I think we need more people who are emulating Led Zeppelin, who are emulating, because there's not enough people in modern hard rock and heavy metal that are emulating a Rob Halford or Ronnie James Dio or, you know, a
Just
Robert
taking
Plant.
Inspiration
taking
from them.
Inspiration. So, yeah, absolutely incredible. I'm glad we saw them, and I'm glad kind of that ended our night. It wasn't intentional, though. It wasn't intentional because we were going to, this is where we were talking about the stage setups.
Oh,
this
yes.
is where they fucked themselves because
that
they
didn't
had.
Didn't end our night.
Yeah, because we tried to see Cypress Hill.
Didn't we stay for?
No, we didn't stay for Foo Fighters.
Oh, that's
we
right,
left
we
for Foo Fighters.
That's right.
We tried to get over to Cypress Hill. They had Cypress Hill on one of the small stages, and you absolutely could not get in there.
We tried.
Those small stages, the average, because on the app, if you go on the Welcome to Rockville app, it'll tell you on your lineup how many people are scheduled. You can schedule yourself to go see these bands and make your own personal schedule. On those smaller stages, on average, 2,000 to 4,000 people.
If that.
For the bigger named acts that were there, 2,000 to 4,000 people scheduled themselves to be there. Cypress Hill, just shy of 10,000.
And there's no way you were going to fit 10,000 people over
no
there.
No way
by that
in
stage.
Hell. No.
There was no way. We tried.
We tried to get in there, man. It was
and
assholes
it was
to elbows
like,
getting in there.
I literally felt like some type of. I don't know, some type of ooze trying to squeeze through a crack.
Yeah.
I didn't even feel like a salmon swimming upstream. No. I felt like
it was like squeezing
slime trying to squeeze through a crack.
So we
just turned around and walked.
Yeah, we turned around, walked out, and we made it again. We were debating on Foo Fighters because I like enough of Foo Fighters music, and I've seen live video of them. They are incredible live. And he brought out Wolfgang Van Halen at one point to play. So he played Eruption, okay. Which is Eddie Van Halen's famous guitar solo. And he has in the past brought on guest mm-hmm. singers and things like that. But again, we're again at day three. We're wiped out.
Yeah.
And we just was like, we knew this was going to be our light day to kind of rest and take it easy from the first 2 days, because we also knew Sunday was going to be another busy one for us. So we bugged out before Foo Fighters. Sorry, but we had to make a decision, and that's what we ended up doing. Which brings us to Sunday. Again, this was going to be another busy day for us because we get there right at about 12:30 because the first one up is Nita Strauss.
Yep. And I wanted to see her.
Nita with Alice Cooper the year before.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible shredding guitarist.
Fabulous.
Wanted to see some of her solo stuff. Don't know. She's got like one song that she did with Dorothy that we know.
Yes.
That if they played it, we don't know. What I'd like to find out, and if anybody knows, somebody reach out to me. Who was the girl that sang for her? Because she was...
I thought she was from Kitty.
She might have been. I'd have to look it up. She was fucking ferocious.
She was really, really good.
She was.
She had some amazing voice control.
Yeah.
Just like...
And she could go from melodic singing to growling to screaming.
And her growling...
Seamless.
Her growling was just as good as any guy's growling I've ever heard, if not better.
She was vicious. She was absolutely just fearless and vicious. Really enhanced the sound. Really good stuff.
Yeah.
The problem we ran into here was, again, she overlapped with two other bands that overlapped with each other that we wanted to see. We wanted to see Ava Under Fire, and we wanted to see Plush. And again, Plush is a band that we'd heard, knew nothing about prior to this weekend. Never even heard of them.
I only ever heard their cover that one time.
And they played a couple of their songs on the way there. Like, okay, now I know we want to see Ava. I really want to see Plush.
Yeah.
So we watched two, maybe three songs of Nita. Rushed over to the other stage real quick at the garage stage to see Ava Under Fire. And the funny thing about that, we're walking over from Nita. We're walking around to the garage stage to watch Ava Under Fire. And we get behind this guy who's, again, when we talk outfits, he's wearing like a full
jumpsuit.
It looks sleeper.
Like a onesie sleeper.
Ava Under Fire. Like all over it. I'm like, God, this guy's serious about this Ava Under Fire
band.
So we get up there. Next thing you know, this motherfucker gets on stage and starts playing guitar. He's part of the band.
We had no idea.
No fucking clue, man.
It was like, I suppose he is all about the band.
He is all about the band. He's advertising, which was pretty awesome.
It was really funny.
So we watched a couple songs of Ava Under Fire, and then we had to walk all the way across
field. Over to the Vortex or the Inferno.
It was the Vortex stage, one of the two, to watch Plush.
Plush.
Who were really, really good.
Yes, they're really, really good.
And they're, again, just as good live.
That song they did cover that she does, you know which one it was.
Yeah, but it's right now it's escaping me.
Yeah, I know.
You ask me in an hour and I'll come up with it.
It's one of those songs, the first time I heard it on the radio, it was like right after they did a little bit of a blurb of an interview of her, and she said, people always say women can't do this song.
I want to say it was a Stone Temple Pilots song, and the name of it is escaping me right now.
I thought it was an AC/DC song.
No. They did when we walked up, they were doing a cover of a Stone Temple Pilots
song. Okay, then that's the song it was, and I can't remember.
But for the life of me, I'm not thinking of what it was.
But the blurb that they did on the interview was like, people said that women can't do this song, and then they did it, and it was like, that's pretty fucking good, and it's an entire female band, and they can rock the house.
They were pretty damn good. From there, we went. We sat out in the field, just back from the stage a little bit, to watch Drowning Pool, who I enjoyed. It was really good listening to them play some of the older hits from the original lead singer, who unfortunately passed away. But the new guy killed it. I don't know how long this guy's been with the band, if he's been with them since the first singer died or what. I don't know a whole lot about Drowning Pool.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about them. Bodies. I just remember some of their songs.
Those first couple songs, I remember those. But they were really good live.
Mm-hmm.
They had a really good sound. They did a blistering cover of Rebel Yell.
Yeah, they did.
It was really, really good.
They did a great cover of Rebel Yell.
So much fun. So I'm glad we sat there for that one. From there, we swapped over. No, actually, we stayed there. We stayed there because next up was Sebastian Bach. And this was another one that I was pleasantly surprised about.
I was so scared that it was going to be, because, you know, Skid Row was one of my absolute favorite bands back in the late 80s that I would go over to my friend's house and sneak and listen to them, and I would make tapes. You know, it's like you sit there on the radio and you got your little tape deck sitting there on the radio.
This is how we did it before iTunes, kids.
Right? You have to, like, make sure that, you know, it's like you're listening and you don't want to get the DJs talking, and you have to, like, hit the record button just at the right time. And then you have to hit the stop button just at the right time to get the whole song. And I used to do that with Skid Row.
Piss
all
me off
them.
And the DJ would just keep
talking. Oh, I know,
when
he would just
talk
over the song. Like, shut up and play the song. It's like, I want to record this. Shut up and play so I can record it. So, Skid Row was one of those bands that I did that, and I would sneak the tapes and hide them and only listen to them when my dad wasn't home.
That's funny.
Though I do remember, I wrote out the lyrics to 18 in Life, and I read them as if they were a poem to my dad. And my dad really enjoyed it as if it were a poem.
Lyrically.
But you put it with the music, and he's like, I'm not listening to that shit.
Yeah, suddenly it's a different song. Yeah. He absolutely likes it. He's not 1989 Sebastian Bach, but for 2024 and a guy in his 50s.
You can tell that he's aged a bit, but he doesn't...
He had a ton of energy.
Yeah, he had a lot of energy. He sounded... He didn't sound like he did in the 80s, but... He sounded a hell of a lot better than some of the other people from the 80s do now.
Right, absolutely. I really wish, after hearing him, you know, on Sunday, I wish Skid Row would just get it back together. I know right now Lizzie Hale is singing for them on tour. She took over because they lost another, I think this is like their third or fourth lead singer since Sebastian left. Guys,
can't just be Sebastian Bach.
No, at this point, if you're past that many singers, maybe he was never the problem.
Yeah, what is it?
Maybe he wasn't all of it. Yeah, if everybody's saying the same thing, maybe the problem is you.
Yes.
Okay? And, you know, that's not a slight against Rachel Bolan or anything like that. But I really think, guys, it's been 30-something years.
It's time to bury the hatchet.
Bring this guy back. Put the band back together.
And don't bury the hatchet in each other's backs.
No, not in each other's backs. Let's get the band back together. Let's make some money, because I really feel like Skid Row's got one run left in them, especially in this modern era. If you go back to the Skid Row album, Skid Row album was what it was. It was a sign of the times. Had some really good music. For me personally, Slave to the Grind was a better album.
Yeah.
It was heavier. It was tonally a little darker. And then the follow-up album to that, the name fell right out of my head. I think it was called Subhuman Race. Commercially did not do well at all. But again, they continued to go even heavier.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think in this heavy, heavy music environment that we have right now in the hard rock, heavy metal scene.
That would be good.
I think, because Rachel Bolan writes good music. He has great guitar riffs. And, you know, if you've got Sebastian doing the vocals on that, I really think... there's another marketable Skid Row album in there.
Just,
like, I really believe that.
Having, you know, just having them be together will sell tickets.
Oh, yeah. It's like you did with Guns N' Roses. If Axl Slash and Duff can put shit, if they can bury it to make money, anybody can bury it to make money. Because those guys...
I was very impressed and very... I thought it was really awesome that... Sebastian Bach's drummer is his son.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. And he was, you could tell he was bursting proud of his son. Because he was telling everybody in the audience.
This is my kid.
It was his son playing the drums. And he was so, and that's cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool. That's one of the things
that
makes Mammoth so cool, is because it's a generational type thing.
Yeah.
It's like you can see the family is continuing it.
Right.
And I think it's better that his son is the drummer as opposed to a singer, because then he doesn't have to compete with his dad.
Right, he doesn't have the pressure
on him. But he can still do good.
That was something that I said about Wolfgang, is that, you know, he plays guitar and he's awesome.
Yeah, he's good.
But his dad took all the great guitar
riffs.
So Wolf's either got to just play whatever music he can play, or he's really got to get in the lab and come up with that one catchy hook that everybody goes, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So, but
it's hard to follow somebody as good as his dad.
So, from there, we had a little bit of a break. We didn't really see much. We did see Theory of a Dead Man, you're right.
Theory of a Dead Man, because I absolutely adore Theory of the Dead Man.
And they were great.
And they did Medicaid, and they did all the songs I wanted, and I just kind of sat there
This was a great time to just sit down and listen to
the band.
Instead of standing and rocking out, we sat down, chilled out, and it was the perfect little set to just sit there and listen to that. And they played the hits.
Oh, yeah.
They played maybe one or two songs. You're more familiar with them than I am.
Oh, I love them.
They played one or two that I didn't know, but for the most part, I knew everything. They sounded excellent. It was a lot of fun.
I was so happy to see them. I was desperate for them to do Medicaid. And when they did it, I was like, yes, this is my song. See, do you know why Medicaid makes a big deal to me? You know I work in fraud, waste, and abuse.
I know you do.
Medical coding and fraud, waste, and abuse. And I see people on a daily basis reading documentation to verify that services are being billed right and everything like
don't
that.
Don't get into this nerd shit. This is wrong.
No,
podcast.
Shut up. So I see people that are having trouble with the opioid crisis. And that's what that song's all about.
You see it operate in real time.
So when I hear that song, I'm like, I am so glad that a band like that actually recognized it. And they're talking all about it. And they're singing about it and everything. And then they turn around and they did the Hillbilly song.
Yeah.
Which was like a complete opposite of Medicaid. But it was still really, really great.
We're singing about the opioid crisis while we sing about smoking weed. That's great.
You know, weed.
No, I respect it. It was a lot of fun. From here, we ran into another conflict. We were supposed to see Bad Omens.
Yeah.
And then we ended up sitting down with some folks. We got to bullshitting. We got to talking, having a drink.
Some of it was because it took so long to get our food.
It did. We went to get food, and there was a hell of a line. It took them a while to get it. We ended up talking with this couple. And we also wanted to see Atreyu.
Yeah.
And Atreyu was on the side stage. And so Bad Omens, we started. We could hear them from where we were sitting, but it wasn't real, real close.
Yeah.
But I looked at her and I'm like, we have got 10 minutes to, Atreyu. If we're going to head over there, we need to head over there and get over there now. And so we went over and we saw Atreyu, which I'm glad we did. I got turned on to Atreyu about two years ago. I like a lot of their stuff, a lot of the newer stuff. I don't know, because I know they've been around a while. I don't know a lot of the older stuff. I haven't really ventured out and listened to it. But what I've heard from them, I really, really like. Mm-hmm. They're another one that sounded just as good live.
They did sound really good.
As they do.
I didn't listen to as much of their music as you did, but there wasn't anything I heard that I didn't enjoy.
No, they were a hell of a lot of fun. They were great live, too. Just a good set.
Yeah,
real interactive with the crowd. We missed it because we bugged out to go watch another band. We went to go get in our spot for Evanescence.
No, we watched Breaking Benjamin.
No, you're right. You're ahead of this. I'm not. We bugged out a little early. At one point, the lead singer got in the mosh pit.
Yeah.
With everybody.
I know.
So I missed out on that. That would have been fucking
cool
to see.
I think there's some pictures and stuff on Facebook on
there
that
are.
Group that we
in
were,
the group that we're in.
And
yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
That would have been fucking awesome to see.
Yeah, but we weren't close enough to see it.
No. It would have been neat to watch him jump down in there and get into it. From there, we went to Breaking Benjamin. This will be our second time seeing Breaking Benjamin when we saw him the first time at Fort Rock. That was... I wasn't a big Breaking Benjamin fan.
Well, that was the thing. Neither one of us really realized how much of their music we actually liked.
Until we saw them live.
Until we heard them.
Yeah.
And at Fort Rock, we were just sitting somewhere like, okay, yeah, Breaking Benjamin, whatever. So we just kind of sat down somewhere and we kind of listened from a distance. And I was like,
They're really freaking good.
I like the song.
Yeah.
And like by the time we could have gotten up to the stage to see anything, set was done. So I was stoked that they were coming back this year.
Yeah.
To the point where that's the only band shirt that I bought.
Yeah.
And
interestingly enough, I think I like, and this is probably the oddest thing anybody will ever say, I like them better live than I do studio. Like, I can listen to them on the radio, but it's not like one of those things where I go nuts if I hear Breaking Benjamin on the radio.
Right.
But seeing them live is a totally different experience.
Kind of like the same way you were with Shinedown.
Yeah.
You didn't care about Shinedown until you saw them live, and then you're like, oh my God.
But now I really enjoy them on the radio too, though.
I know.
So Breaking Benjamin, again, awesome. Delivered one hell of a good show. Okay. Again, another one we mostly sat down for, just because, again, that's kind of a mood band, because you made the comment that a lot of their music really sounds epic, and it's just stuff you sit and you take in.
Yeah, I listen. It's like every one of their songs. It's like when you listen to their songs that are radio hits, which I haven't actually listened to any of their music on any of their CDs that aren't radio hits.
Right.
Because there's enough of their radio hits that I can say that I like Breaking Benjamin as a band.
Right.
But when you listen to every song that's played on the radio by them, it literally is like an epic song all on its own. So you just kind of sit there and you just zone and listen and just like vibe with it.
Yeah.
I sound like a complete you know, flower child.
Fangirl.
Fangirl, yeah. And actually, don't ask me, but I think don't ask me who the singers are, who any of the artists are in the band. I love their music.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were my gotta see. And,
We wrapped up our weekend with Evanescence. Evanescence mm-hmm. played on the Octane stage, and by then, thank God, because Amy Lee deserves it.
Oh, yeah.
They got the sound figured out.
Oh, God, she sounded so
phenomenal.
She
was incredible. We saw her 2 years ago?
Last year.
It was last year we saw them, and she sounded okay. Mm-hmm. She sounded good. I thought she was better this year.
She was better this year.
Than she was last year.
And I think it was, because I think last year might have, like, been the beginning of them coming back onto, into the tour circuit.
Yeah. Because everybody took a lot of time off after COVID.
Yeah. And so this year, she sounded like... And she sounded phenomenal last year, too. And I was just ecstatic to hear her because I'd never listened to them live. I'd never seen them live, and they were on my bucket list. And then this year, she sounded like a whole head better than she did the last year.
Absolutely incredible.
And they finally got the sound right on Octane and stage. And
We ended our night here. There was still Sum 41 who kind of overlapped. Evanescence went on at 9. Sum 41 went on at 9:10. I wasn't pressed to see them anyway.
No.
The entire Rockville experience was closed out by Slipknot. And there's a part of me that wanted to see Slipknot, but there's a part of me that was like, one, again, I'm old, I'm busted, I'm tired. This is day 4. And I don't like enough of Slipknot songs
to fight
all those people and sit through 2 hours of it to hear the handful of songs that I really I really enjoy, I fucking love.
Yeah.
But the stuff that I either don't care for or I don't know, I'm like, it just wasn't for me. The people that loved it, loved it.
I know.
And as far as I understand, they put on an incredible show.
Oh, yeah. I've always heard that they put on an amazing show. It's just that's not their...
I'm not their audience.
No, I'm not.
I like songs. I'm not their audience. So.
I think this year was kind of better for us than last year, because last year, the bands that we really, really wanted to see really were the last ones of the night. And this year, the ones that we really, really wanted to see were
earlier. Like, last year, I was dying to see Pantera, and Pantera closed out the whole weekend.
Oh, I know.
And we stayed for a few songs, but at the end of the day, I ended up working every day of Rockville last year.
You did.
Except for Saturday and Sunday, which means we left at almost midnight. I got to bed at 2 and was up at 5 to go to work on Monday.
Yeah.
So it was fucking brutal. So I'm like, I watched enough of Pantera to enjoy. I'm like, okay, yes, I saw Pantera, and I can say I saw him, and it was mm-hmm. fucking awesome. But this weekend, I was like, we're going home.
Yeah.
So let's get to the tail end of this before we wrap this up. I had you make some lists, and we're just going to start off here. What were your top 3 acts for the weekend?
Well, my top 3 acts were Breaking Benjamin, Falling in Reverse, and Theory of a Dead Man.
Okay. My top 3, and this is in order. Number 3 was Greta Van Fleet. Number 2, Falling in Reverse. Number 1, Judas Priest. Mm-hmm. That's my personal list. Objectively, Falling in Reverse was the best act this weekend. But personally, Judas Priest was, again, a bucket list band, mm-hmm. a band I grew up in, a band probably one of my top 4. They're on my Mount Rushmore of metal bands.
Judas Priest would be my fourth one. You just asked me for the top 3. You didn't ask me for the top 4.
I don't want to say go down a whole list. Lists are time-consuming. Top 3 surprises.
Top 3 that surprised me the most, the one that surprised me the most was Falling in Reverse.
Okay.
And then Greta Van Fleet and Sebastian Bach.
Okay.
I was very surprised, very pleasantly surprised. I'm actually like tearfully surprised at the time, and the songs that he did were the songs that I love and I know, and
Okay. Top 3 for me, Offspring. Again, I had no expectations going in. I never a band that was on my, list of must-sees, and they killed it. Like you, Sebastian Bach, I was fearing the worst and was blown away by what he was able to do, and Atreyu. I was really hopeful that Atreyu would be really good live, and they were.
Yeah.
They were awesome. I really enjoyed it. That was a nice little surprise for me.
Yeah.
Next year, top 3.
I want to see Def Leppard.
Okay.
Def Leppard is my number 1 I want to see. I'm desperate to see Def Leppard. I would really love to see a full set of the Pretty Reckless.
Yes.
Absolutely, because I absolutely love Taylor Momsen. She's just fabulous. She's got that amazing voice, too.
Yeah.
And I'm never going to say I don't want to see Shinedown. So for me, it's like the different...
You want Shinedown to
Shinedown
come back.
And Dorothy. So I'm going to slip in a fourth one there. Shinedown and Dorothy.
Okay. My top three, I would love to see Guns N' Roses because they got rained out two years ago. And I want you to experience that because that's another one of those may end up being a once-in-a-lifetime band. I saw them back in 92 with Metallica and they were fucking awesome.
I'd still rather see Def Leppard than Guns N' Roses.
Okay. AC/DC. I would love to see AC/DC. Yes. And there's a story behind that. When I was 17 years old, I had tickets to AC/DC. I think it was, I don't even remember what album it was. It may have been Razor's Edge was the album they were touring for at the time. So I had tickets. I was still in high school at the time. Well, my dumb ass got caught skipping school. And my punishment was my dad tore up my AC/DC tickets.
Oh, my God.
So I didn't get to go see AC/DC. And just through the years...
I don't remember you telling me about that before.
Yeah, there's a whole story behind that.
Oh, your dad's an asshole.
My dumb ass got caught. Because here's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell the story since we've got a little bit of time here. So my girlfriend at the time and I, we had tickets to go to AC/DC. Then we had this thing. I was a senior in high school. And we had this thing called Senior Skip Day.
Yep.
So I skipped school. Went to her house, hung out at her house all day. About noonish, because her aunt was there, because her aunt was a stay-at-home mom. We were just hanging out, chilling out, and all of a sudden there's a knock at the door. It's my mom at the door, wanting to know where her car keys were. We had gone to the Brevard County Fair the night before and seen George Thorogood.
Did she left her keys in the car?
No. My girlfriend and I had seen George Thorogood at the Brevard County Fair the night before. Her car keys were still in the fucking jacket pocket of the jacket I was wearing.
Oh, my God.
That's how I got caught. So I had to come clean when I got home. There was a whole lot of yelling and a whole lot of stuff. And my dad thought, well, you're not going to that fucking concert. And that was it. I never made it to AC/DC. And then just over the years, either I was broke or just not in, like, the concert mood. Or they just weren't. Timing never happened. Timing never happened, and I never ended up seeing AC/DC. So yeah, AC/DC is absolutely on my.
Your dad should buy you the tickets.
My dad. What? No, I skipped school. My dad's not like that. He's like, that fucking asshole skips school.
You're a senior. It's a senior skip day. Everybody skips that senior skip day.
He doesn't give a shit. Then he's not going to give a shit now.
If you had taken your mom's keys out of your pocket.
None of that would have. History would have been completely different. I would have gone down a different timeline. And last but not least, Iron Maiden.
I know.
Iron Maiden, they're playing in Cubs, is it Incarceration out in California? Or is it,
or is it not Incarceration? It's California.
Whichever one's in California. My friend Dave lives out there and he asked me if we were going to go. I'm like, don't think we haven't discussed it.
We have talked about it.
Because it's Iron Maiden. I'm hoping that because they're doing the one in the fall out there, that maybe they'll bring them over here for Rockville. If not, they're going on tour. They're coming stateside.
I hear you.
And The Who is opening up for them.
The Who. The H-U?
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah. Ooh. They're opening up for them. So that might actually be a pretty fucking epic show. That would be a lot of fun.
You're
if they come locally.
Me. You're bribing me.
I'm bribing you. I absolutely am. Anyway, that's going to wrap it up for our talk about Rockville 2024. If you were there, I hope you fucking enjoyed it. I loved the hell out of it. As tired as I am, and I know by the end of the weekend, my feet is like, we are never doing this again.
Yeah.
And my heart and soul are like, we are absolutely doing this again.
Next year, your heart and soul are going to tell your feet, shut the fuck up.
Feet, shut the fuck up. We're taking the wheel for 4 days here, and then at the end of the 4 days...
If we have to go in a wheelchair, we'll go.
My feet are going to be like, mistakes were made. And... I'll probably do it until my body says, okay, we can't, and then I'll do it one more time.
Well, I told you what my goal is in life. I want to be the one that they call the silver alert on, and my kids, and the nursing home calls my kids and says, your mom's missing. Wait a minute. What weekend is this? Oh, shit. It's Rockville.
We know where she's at.
That's what I want to be.
Anyway, thank you guys for watching. We had a good time with this. I enjoyed talking about it. I've been dying to talk about it since it ended this weekend. Again, if you had a chance to make it there and you enjoyed it, I'm glad you did. If you haven't been and you're on the fence, please go. Festivals are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It gets a little pricey, but when you figure out the price for all the bands you get to see, it's fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Again,
absolutely.
Thank you guys for listening. We're going to get out of here. Again, I am DJ, part of the Chairshot Radio Network. Again, you can find us on thechairshot.com, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your heads.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.